I wanted to just share some brief thoughts, and if you have enough faith, they will be brief. But I really felt we should just spend some time waiting on the Lord, if you can, for as long as you feel to. It's so important to wait on the Lord. We hear good things, even what our sister Hofflander shared. The working of the Holy Spirit in a life is tremendous. There are stories right from heaven of how God works. But we need to wait on the Lord, and that's where He changes us, to abide in that vine. I want to mention about hiding. That verse here in the song is hidden in the hollow of His blessed hand. Have you ever felt that? Do you know that? To be hidden in His blessed hand? Some of you guys probably played hide-and-seek, right? Did you ever play that, hide-and-seek? What was your favorite part, hiding or seeking? Hiding? Yeah, used to be my favorite part, but then a lot of times they wouldn't find me, and that's discouraging. One time with my daughter Catherine, we went to, it's called Camp Haycock, and they had a father and daughter time. And part of their activity was that they filled all the dad's pockets full of candy, and we were to go and hide. And our daughters were meant to find us. Well, that started at daylight, and I hid so well. It was starting to get dark, and I ate every piece of those candies. And my daughter was like, "Where were you?" I said, "I was hiding. Weren't you finding me?" She got distracted. Catherine, kind of believe it, don't you? Johanna? Well, it's important to hide. And if you study the Bible, and like I say, I really don't want to belabor this, but you know in the Old Testament, in Numbers 35, that Moses was instructed to make 6 cities of refuge where they could go, where things could be settled before revenge set in. But they were hiding places, right? We all need a refuge sometimes, and it's good to take a refuge. I considered this, that life is really filled with 2 sometimes very frightening things. And here's what they are. The first one is situations, and the second is circumstances. They can get frightening, can't they? Have you ever been in a situation? Well, if you're alive, life is always going to have a situation, isn't it? Right? Yes, amen. Maybe you're in one tonight, I don't know. You're in a situation. You're in a circumstance. When you find out the origin of those words, situation means place, a place, to place. Situations can get you stuck. If you look at the word, the origin of the word circumstance, it comes from 2 Latin words that means around, stand. And we've had times when circumstances kept us spinning in one spot, isn't it so? I looked at those and I said, the trouble with situations and circumstances when they arrive is 3 things. They get your complete attention, don't they? That's the thing you focus on. You're stuck and this is your situation and it has your full attention. And you focus on that. The second thing is this, that it engages our emotions. It's not much of a situation if it hasn't engaged your emotions. But most of the time when you are in a situation or a circumstance that's adverse, that's uncomfortable, it has your full attention, that's your full focus, and your emotions are gone wild. You're kind of like a windmill in which the wind is hitting, you know, just spinning. Right? Do you know what I mean? Have you been there? You're like, yes, Brother Keith, don't take me there again. But that's what happens in a situation. There's a third thing as well, though. It always comes down to you have to make a decision. It brings you to a crossroad. And you know, you can stay in that situation And a lot of times we do that because you're afraid or you don't know what to do, so you don't make any choice, right? I want to just point out a few things, though. You know how David, when he was at Ziklag, and of course the Amalekites came, and they took away the family and the luggage and everything. Well, was that a situation? Yeah, it was a big situation. You can imagine, if you use any of your imagination, of how David and his men felt when they came and they found everything gone. Well, you don't even need to imagine much. You can read it in the Word there that they wept. In fact, they wept till they couldn't weep anymore. It had gotten their full attention. But their emotions were also engaged, right? Have you ever wept until you felt like you never could weep anymore, just out of tears? They did that. And also, it came to a point where they had to make a decision. And look at the difference between David and his men. His men came into that situation, and what happened? Their whole focus is on our wives and our children, and all our stuff is gone. And then their emotions kicked into where they wept, and they came to a decision. And what was their decision? Let's kill David. All right. A real productive decision. But take a look at David, how he handled the situation. Okay, it got his attention. All those three things kind of came in. But look at how David had a hiding place. David had learned how to hide in God. Not just the caves. He had found a way to hide in God. And what did he do? Why, the situation and circumstance demanded his attention, but there was a greater hiding place. There was a greater focus, and that focus was God. If you look at it carefully enough, you'll find out something about faith. Faith and fear are empowered by the same thing. They're not so far different. If you look at faith and you look at fear, they're both empowered by focus, aren't they? If you have fear, then that's what you focus on. Now, David had good reasons to be fearful, but the greater place was that he had faith in God, and that empowered him. But the second thing was, yes, David's emotions were engaged, but he allowed those emotions, instead of sweeping him into discouragement, instead of sweeping him into just a state of just being stagnant, not doing it, those emotions swept him right up to look in the face of God. That's pretty wonderful, right? Pretty powerful stuff that David had there. And he came to a decision. And that decision was, I'm going to ask God what to do. I'm going to inquire of God. And you know the story how he did. He inquired of God. I took a look at that and I said, Lord, I want that hiding place that David found. Can we be so hidden in Christ that situations and circumstances don't demand so much from us? Don't capture our focus, don't capture our attention, don't force us to a place where we feel we can't make a decision. Can that be? Well, there's enough examples in the Bible where the Holy Spirit has done that for people. And it comes by waiting on the Lord. It comes by finding that hiding place. I'll give you one more example, and it's a well-known one. Remember how Paul and Silas, right? They're in Philippi. And the Apostle Paul does a wonderful thing by freeing that woman with the sorcery, right? And he prays. And of course, those who were her masters were kind of mad because they're out of business. So what happens to Paul and Silas? They end up, midnight in that prison. And it is a pretty fantastic thing that they're praising the Lord and singing at midnight, right? I always like to tell folks, if it was Paul, Silas, and Keith, there might be some trouble in that word. It might be a different story. I don't know. I think that I'd be like, guys, this is no time to sing. Let's think about this a little bit. Our backs are bloody. Here we are. Our feet are in stocks. You know, and Paul and Silas are singing and worshiping the Lord. And what happens? Yeah, they're obeying God. But what happens? An earthquake. I'd probably be like, see? It's just getting worse. Right? That's how we are sometimes. But the earthquake was going to set everything free, right? Break everything loose. But what is it that Paul and Silas had? They were hidden. They were hidden. And somehow, what was happening around them didn't grab all their attention, their complete attention. Somehow, what was happening around them, what had happened to them, didn't cause their emotions to go haywire. And somehow they made a right decision by saying, God is able to keep us, to save us. He hasn't changed, you know? So I ask us tonight, what's your situation? Well, what's your circumstance? How much of your attention does it have? Where are your emotions right now? Aren't emotions powerful? You know, it's an interesting thing with feelings. A feeling can change your mind so easily. You could plan something for weeks, be so excited about it, and say, I just can't wait for this. You could tell everybody, I can't wait for this party that's going to take place, or partay. You know, I can't wait for it. I can't wait. And then if somebody says something and gets your emotions engaged, and something you've been waiting for months is now the worst idea in the world. Right? It's interesting how feelings can so easily change your mind, but your mind can't so easily change your feelings. Have you ever tried to snap out of it? Feeling a little down, feeling a little discouraged. You know, you can't just say, I think I'll stop feeling this way. The Holy Spirit can do that. Emotions are powerful things, but when they're given to the Lord and He engages them, why, there's great deliverance in that. That decision thing is so, so powerful as well, to make the right decision, to say, I choose to serve the Lord. I choose to worship the Lord. I'm thankful. I mentioned Reverend Gardner. You know, he used to give this out as a prescription to people. He would say, you know what you need to do? You need to praise the Lord out loud for 15 minutes. Find a place and praise the Lord out loud. He handed it out like a doctor would hand out a prescription. You know? Imagine, I just pictured little Gordon Gardner prescription papers. You know, he just, here you go. But those who obeyed, who made that decision to praise the Lord, were delivered. Well, I wanted to read this verse to us. And it comes from the Epistle of Hebrews. And, of course, the writer of Hebrews is encouraging these Christians that have gone through so much persecution. And he tells them this in Hebrews 6:18. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for what?
Refuge.
For refuge. What an encouraging thing that was for those persecuted Christians now who were being told they needed to go back to Judaism. And we were being, moved out of their families and their associations. He said, therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. I want to just close out with this reading a little. Just listen to this. This is from My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. Just listen to this. When we think of being delivered from sin, being filled with the Spirit, as it mentions in Ephesians 5:18, and walking in the light, we picture the peak of a great mountain. We see it as a very high and wonderful, but we say, oh, I could never live up there. However, when we do get there through God's grace, we find it is not a mountain peak at all, but a plateau with plenty of room to live and grow. You enlarge my path under me so that my feet did not slip, from Psalm 18. When you really see Jesus,
I defy you to doubt him. Isn't that true? When you really see Jesus, when you open up your heart, then it isn't just, I shouldn't doubt or I need to trust. When you see Jesus, all those things are there, aren't they? If you see him when he says, let not your heart be troubled, I defy you to worry. It is virtually impossible to doubt when he is there. Every time you are in personal contact with Jesus, his words are real to you. Isn't it so? Excuse me. My peace I give to you, a peace which brings an unconstrained confidence and covers you completely from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. And the peace of Jesus Christ that cannot be disturbed has been imparted to you. We need Jesus tonight. That's all. We need to give him some time. And so I'm going to say to us, let's wait on the Lord. Now, waiting on the Lord doesn't mean that you go through what you're going to do tomorrow. Or waiting on the Lord isn't, well, I'm waiting for my 15 minutes to be up. All right? Waiting on the Lord is just seeing Jesus. You know, just looking to him. Giving God some time to work in us. We're going to stand and let's sing that third verse. And then if you want to sit, kneel, let's wait on the Lord. Verse 3. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, dear Father. We thank you, oh, God. Praise you, dear Jesus. We thank you, oh, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're thankful that you are in our midst, oh, God. We're thankful that you are our hiding place. Oh, Lord God, we pray that tonight, as we sit at your feet, oh, Lord, that as we see Jesus, as we look upon you, your majesty, oh, we pray, God, that you will empower us, oh, God, to see you always, to know that you are truly always with us, that situations and circumstances do come, but in the name of Jesus, they go. And we, Lord, come out on the other side greater, more powerful, more filled. And we thank you for that. Strengthen us even now as we sit at your feet and wait on you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you, Lord.